episode number 10 of the Rated NA podcast for nerdappropriate.com.
Happy New Year!
Yeah,
if
Happy
you're
New
listening.
Year. This will be out on Tuesday.
Yeah, which is crazy. 2011.
2011.
I never thought I would
make
it this far.
1 year before the world ends.
Yes. But you know what's okay? Mass Effect 3 will be out before the world ends. So as long as...
Star Wars Old Republic, questionable.
Yeah.
But yeah. Mass Effect...
As long as I get my BioWare fix in 2011, I will be just fine.
Now, why exactly do they say the world is going to end?
Sarah Palin's going to become president.
No.
I feel like it was just an intelligently designed calendar. You know, they were just like, this calendar goes all the way until 2012. And then someone was like, what if it needs to go longer than that? And he's like, it doesn't matter. We're not going to be around.
Is this an old Mayan conversation you're talking about now?
What was the designer's choice, you know, when they were putting this calendar together?
Ash?
It's a really popular question that my students ask all the time because they're really excited about the apocalypse for some strange reason. And what I always tell them is that the Mayans just kind of got tired and then they died.
Okay.
So they couldn't
they
make
got
any
tired,
more,
then they died.
Yeah, they couldn't make any more calendars. So.
I don't even understand how it ends in 20... Is it like a mathematical equation as to why it ends in 2012?
Yeah.
Or do they literally only make a calendar until 2012 and then
I'm
tired of this shit.
It's like a prophecy that kind of foretells the end of everything. And then they just stopped their calendar, like, you know, foreseeing the future and things like that. So it's like, you know, ancient
so it's
prophecies.
Like somewhat like how computers could not actually turn to the year 2000.
Yes.
And no one thought they were going to work. And
who else was really excited about the Y2K bug?
I actually heard that.
The creators of South Park?
I actually heard that shit had a really good chance of going haywire. It's just that people did a lot of hard work to make sure that it didn't go haywire.
Right.
So the things could have gone horribly wrong. If the Y2K bug had somehow gone unnoticed and actually happened... That things could have gone to hell.
So maybe if the Mayans weren't so lazy.
Let me turn those on.
Yeah, so I remember sitting around my apartment when Y2K happened, and I was actually incredibly excited for the Y2K bug to hit, just because I guess I'm a weird guy, because I've always kind of wanted... pandemonium.
You were in your panic room with like cans of like beans, like ready to...
No, I was totally the asshole that after 9/11 happened, I went to the grocery store and bought canned stuff and put them in my bomb shelter.
Did you have it back then?
I did, yeah, I did. I had a bomb shelter and I went and bought cans of stuff and I put cans of stuff in the bomb shelter and they are still there. And they are absolutely disgusting. Yeah.
Wow. Haley posted some Why
terrific.
The World's Gonna End in 2012 Good. Wikipedia article.
Good. Thanks, Haley. Also, I don't think we ever announced, or maybe we did and I forgot, but Haley, who was on the show, was the one who won our Spike VGA award.
Yay!
Hooray!
She gets all sorts of fun stuff, which we haven't really figured... Well, some of it we figured out. Others we're still in the process of figuring out. And I guess, since she's...
She has to come here to get it, though, so we can all awkwardly stare at her and talk about girls and gaming again.
Yes,
right?
Yes. That's the thing we have to go talk about, girls and gaming. Always a joy.
I like how that ended. It was like a nice non-ending to your sentence.
Yeah.
You're like, yeah, girls and gaming.
Yeah.
I noticed we just let a lot of things kind of float out there sometimes, like in the...
Like poop.
Yeah.
Let it flow.
You let poo flow out there?
Yeah.
All right.
Just let it hang.
That's
out
something.
There.
Speaking of poo, a lot of people in our family got food poisoning.
Yeah.
this holiday season.
Thanksgiving or Christmas.
Yeah.
What month are we in?
It was pretty remarkable.
We're pretty sure we know why, too.
And I'm just going to go on record and say it's because my mother-in-law gave... raw turkey to everyone in the family. Wow. And I was the only one with the gumption to say, I'm not eating that.
Melissa and I didn't go. We were at my parents for the weekend, and you guys all went to our wives' parents.
Yeah.
And they ate raw turkey.
Yeah.
So you were able
knocked out.
You were able to identify the turkey as raw ahead of time?
Yeah.
Didn't she? She was like, oh, this is a little undercooked. Don't eat the middle part.
Well, yeah. It had only been cooked for a couple hours.
So you were like, I'm not eating any of
it. Yeah, no. I was like, I'm not touching it. And she's like, the top is fine. And I'm purposely not doing my Asian accent that I normally do when I talk about my mother-in-law, because I could probably lose my job for talking like that. But, so she she gives everyone this raw turkey, and the girls just gobbled it up. No pun intended. And they ate so much raw turkey, it was amazing. And then for the next couple days...
Well, it's not like they were literally eating raw turkey. It's just that the turkey wasn't fully cooked towards the bone.
I could tell, man. I could tell.
Yeah, but...
And it was like, it wasn't like pink. Like,
yeah, they weren't
like,
picking a pink turkey breast.
Okay. Like savagely, like, an unplucked turkey carcass, and they're just like gnawing at it like zombies. No, it was cooked, but not cooked enough. And yeah, it was a sad scene. So the three of them got deathly ill, and my wife was uber sick with food poisoning.
But she still helped us move. Showed up at well, actually, that's when it started.
Yeah, she got sick while helping you move. Which segues beautifully into what we're going to talk
about.
Why
we're here.
Yeah.
Why are we in this room?
We were all amped, and you haven't told us yet. We were supposed to be in our new podcast room, and here we are in what I love to call the lodge, which is my little sex den.
Aren't we the only ones in here ever, though?
Well, normally it's my sex den with myself.
Oh, that kind of sex den.
Solo. You like to solo.
Solo the sex den. I got it.
No.
So, my wife, as we said last time, my wife and I got a new house. It's awesome house down in, if anybody knows Orlando, it's down in College Park.
Okay.
Area. I love it there. And the house is older, as I'm discovering. Slowly, as time goes on.
Always with surprises in the older houses.
Yeah, the walls are like solid plaster / cement, so screwing into them requires like a masonry bit and then like Tapcon screws to get anything inside of the wall. Mm. So that was like the first struggle. But it was going pretty smoothly. Like yesterday we were getting a ton of shit done and getting everything kind of set up, and the office was coming along really, or my, like the podcast room was coming along really nicely, and I was like, oh, you know what, I think we're going to be totally fine to do the podcast tomorrow. It's cool. We went to dinner. Ash and I went with Melissa and Chrissy. We went to dinner, and I was saying at dinner, like, everything's going awesome. This is awesome. Like, we're going to be totally good.
Mm-hmm.
So that night, we had gone by the old house and picked up the living room fan that we had,
because
we were keeping it. We got that, and then, like, all the music stuff and some other things. And we went back to the house, to the new house, and I was like, all right, I'm going to get this fan up in the living room so that we can move the light to the office, and then I can put the light up, because I got like a lighting kit for the fan in the office. Put the light up in the fan in the office, and like, I'm a pretty handy guy. You know, I did a lot at the house, the last house we were at. I did a lot of fixes and a lot of different things. Hanging a fan is like, jeez, we disturbed the gods back in that closet. Lord, I literally thought an avalanche was about to come out on me.
It might. This is how my long boxes aren't disturbed, because if those suckers come jumping out of there, we may all die.
Sorry, I messed with the closet to get the camera set up earlier, and shit is still settling in there somehow. Yeah. Anyways, pause for editing. So I go home, and I start to, like, undo the fan in the living room. I grab the screwdrivers, and I go look at it. I cut the power. First step I have to figure out is where the breakers are for different
breaker
rooms.
Box, right?
This house...
You have one breaker box or, like, 10?
We have one breaker box, because we were told that the electricity was redone completely. So we got to the breaker box, and I'm like, Melissa, you know, like, let me know what gets turned off as I'm going room by room. So I'm, like, clicking things on and off. She's like, that's this room, that's this room. And as we're doing them, we're starting to find out that one breaker is linked to, like, multiple rooms in the house, but with no logical order as to where the breakers go in that house. So, like, I clicked one breaker off, and the fan went off in the living room, but nothing else did in the living room.
Oh.
And then the master bedroom, the bathroom, and the guest bedroom all went out. And I was like, why is the fan hooked? Like, where is this running right now?
Yeah.
And then, like, another one turned off the podcast room and, like, half the kitchen and all of the living room outlets, but not the fan in the living room. It was, like, these weird concoctions of breakers, so they're all over the place. So I get the right one off. I go back in the living room. I start to undo the fan. It's, like, a fan from, like, the 80s. It's old. And the screws that you have to get to are, like, on top of the fan. There's about this much room.
To unscrew them?
To unscrew them. And they're flatheads on top of that, so it's, like, near impossible to get a screwdriver up in there. I'm starting to, like, get mad and frustrated. I finally get this fan thing undone, and then the wiring's all fucked up, and then I have to unscrew the whole thing because it's the old style, like, hook fan that, like, hooked on there. I had to take the whole fucking casing down and, like, put a new one up to get our current fan up there. And then our current fan went up, and I couldn't screw the thing that covers the wires. I couldn't screw in because it's solid plaster ceiling, and there's nowhere to screw it into. It just was, like, one fucking nightmare after another. The fan ended up going from what normally would take me probably, like, 30 minutes. That fan took me almost 3 hours.
Oh, I hate that.
To get it up at the end of the
That's
night.
That's awful.
And I was, like, mad and angry, so I'm like, fuck it, I'm not doing anything else tonight. And I just played Portal, which we're going to talk about. I played Portal for the rest of the night. So I get up today, and I'm, like, refreshed. Slept in, because I played Portal till, like, 3 in the morning. So slept in, got up, I'm like, all right. Good to go. I'm going to get the office fan done. Now, what I haven't said about the office fan is I already tried to get the cap off.
Yeah.
And one of the screws is stripped entirely.
Oh, good. So it's not coming out.
So I had to go get, like, a thing to get the screw off, which is fine. So I go get that. It doesn't work. I go get a different one. It doesn't work. So then I'm I'm taking a screwdriver, I mean a drill, and I'm just drilling straight. I'm just decimating the screw at this point because there's no other way to get it off at all.
Right.
So I'm like drilling up into this like metal casing with wires and stuff with my thing. I mean, it's powered off, but I'm doing that. I like rip the thing off and the screw head just pops off of it. I pull that out, pull out the wiring. And then it was probably another 3 hours of figuring out why this wiring is not working with the lighting kit. I tried like different things. None of them would work. I couldn't get the light to turn on. Finally, pretty much what we decided is I have to pull down all of the fans in the house and see how they were wired in the first place to see if the lighting kit's even hooked up for it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have to redo all of that or buy new fans.
Oh, God.
Like, and I've been trying to like hang things on the wall, which is not like nail something in, hang it on the wall. It's like drill a pre-hole, put a screw in it, do this, attach that, and it's like everything's taking 10 times longer than it should just to do the basic stuff.
Yep.
And old so houses, needless man. To say, the room's pitch black right now. Like we couldn't go in it. Like there's no way. It's,
oh,
the room's
yeah,
pitch
the
black. That you know, I don't know. There's still some office stuff out, and I just like I finally called Ash and I was like, we can't. Like this
yeah.
is it's just not going to work. We
Maybe
can't.
Next week.
It should be next week. I mean, I'll punch myself if the house isn't done by next week.
Shit happens, man.
So old houses, they're awesome. They're like they're cool as far as like character goes. You know,
yeah,
it's
yeah.
a cool old house.
Mm-hmm.
But good lord, doing anything inside of it
makes
me
constant work.
Shoot myself.
It really is constant work. When we first moved into this house, this house was built in 1957, and
ours is 1943.
Really,
yeah.
That none of the outlets had grounds. There was no ground.
Yeah.
And, like,
oh, wow.
There was no ground for the whole house. So, for those that don't know, that means every plug in the house only had two prongs.
Well, and also
prongs.
You're a major, like, electrical hazard.
Ah, yes. I have a billion things plugged in pretty much all the time. So, it was, it was a big, big deal.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad
houses.
You got moved.
Yeah, I mean, thank you guys were the ones who got me moved, so.
Yeah.
It was nerd solidarity. We got... I fell under a washing machine. That was fun.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I remember that.
I ran down a truck ramp with a washing machine on a...
Terrifying. It was like one of those situations. He was bringing the washing machine down the ramp in the back of a U-Haul.
Which washing machines are like 200 pounds.
Yeah, it's
like
pretty heavy.
Heavy.
And it was on a dolly. And we all kind of like lost control over after it went over the lip. And it seriously rolled at full speed down the ramp.
It had a lot of momentum.
I just ran with it,
yeah.
Essentially. I just ran down the ramp holding the dolly and then like got off and then walked as if nothing happened the rest of the way to the garage.
Your only two options were to get run over.
Yeah.
Or to leap out of the way and
let
just
it
like
die.
Crash. Yeah.
Crash to the ground.
Well, I had three options.
Yeah,
I ran with
option,
it.
Yes. I probably would have leapt out of the way.
Either that or you were running from it. Something like that.
I think it was like, because I don't remember thinking anything. It's not like my brain was like, okay, let's go ahead and run with this so we can make it down the ramp. I just think my brain was like, you're about to get killed.
Yeah.
And I just ran in the opposite direction holding the dolly.
It's good.
So
it was very fast how you did that.
I'm a fast guy.
Fast thinking on the toes.
So yeah, you guys want
to
get into it?
Yeah, let's dive into it. That was a nice intro to what we've been up to. Lots of sweaty goodness.
We've moved.
Yes.
You guys have moved me.
So number one in our news was an article written by Patton Oswalt, which I think a lot of you guys have probably stumbled across because it's been reposted all over the place. If you haven't, Matt's going to give you a rundown of pretty much what the article's about.
I mean, the short of it is essentially he wrote an article about growing up as a nerd, quote-unquote, about whatever he was nerdily into. And, you know, he talked about how his friends were into music and some were into movies and comic books and books and whatever it might have been, D&D, whatnot. And he talked about how nerd culture now is essentially so overblown and so everything that it's not really nerd culture anymore. It's just accessible information. Everything's pop culture, essentially, is what he's saying. And that even if you wanted to be a nerd about something, which would be like knowing, you know, the most minute details about a certain topic, it doesn't really matter anymore because there's no challenge to it, is kind of what his point seemed like. You know, the challenge is taken away by this idea that everything is everywhere and you can get access to anything instantaneously. And if you wanted to be a Doctor Who nerd, you could literally hop on Netflix and watch, you know, 10 years of Doctor Who, and you can jump on Wikipedia and read about every actor that's ever been in it and what the background is and what this is and what that is and debunk it on a different site. And, you know, like, that was kind of his point. And he was saying that essentially for nerd culture to exist or nerds to progress, we have to, like, embrace this everything is everywhere until it explodes and then nothing is anywhere and it goes back to being kind of this, you know, you're nerdily into your nerdy thing.
That sounds very confusing.
Well, it's not so
much... It was written... I mean, honestly, he's a phenomenal writer. Yeah, like, it's written really well.
It is a really funny article. And definitely, go look it up if you guys haven't read it.
Right,
because it is really interesting. But I think the whole gist of the article was just that... to be a real nerd, you had to kind of be an old-school nerd where you had to work for it. It was like almost like something that you had to... It was a challenge you had to overcome, like... And you were, back in the old days, and I think we've even talked about this on the podcast and on the site, you were kind of frowned upon and, like, looked down, you know, people looked down at you because you were different and you liked things that weren't mainstream and you were kind of like, you know, like when you guys were in high school and you would play Vampire the Masquerade, you probably didn't care, but a lot of people probably thought you were goofy. And now it's like, as a teacher, you see kids that are, you know, on the football team that talk about playing Pokemon all day, and it's just like it's a completely different universe, like, you know, where people you would never expect are into games and card games and nerdy movies, and it has become incredibly mainstream. But I don't think that deludes it at all. I don't think it makes, you know, people any less nerdy than they used to be.
Well, I think one of his points was that, you know, the reason good things exist is because people like push boundaries because they want more, because they're like, oh, you know, screw this pop culture Taylor Swift and all that, I'm gonna go be Fugazi, you know, which was I just mixed two time periods that make no sense together whatsoever, but you know what I mean. I don't know why I did that, but you know
Taylor
what I mean, like
Fugazi.
Yeah, but like essentially he's saying that art is created through challenge and like you know. But to me, it's like there will always be that kid in the garage making music. There will always be that nerdy kid who's socially outcast and drawing pictures and becomes an amazing comic artist. Mm-hmm. There will always be, like, there will just always be that person who doesn't fit the norms and pushes boundaries on something else somewhere, you know, whether it's music or art or writing. It's hard for me to see that just because the internet exists. I mean, to me, I feel like the internet to me makes it easier for people to get together and talk about their nerdy stuff, which he talks about. He's like, well, before you would be an outcast and now you can go find 5,000 friends online and you know, you're no longer an outcast essentially. But I don't know why that's bad. Why do you have to be an outcast to be a nerd? Like,
yeah, I think it's because like being a nerd used to be like this derogatory thing. Mm-hmm. Like it used to be a very negative, you know, stigma attached to being nerdy. And now it's like, you know, when you look at the example of Comic-Con, everybody wants to go. Either, you mean, like you said the other week, like, you know, True Blood people aren't exactly nerds, but they're going to go to Comic-Con and maybe be exposed to things they wouldn't normally be exposed to.
But they're
going to
act like nerds, you know what I mean? They're going to wait in line for things and, you know, freak out and follow people around from the show or whatever.
I agree.
And if you don't like what's on the internet, you could always choose to ignore it, too, you know?
Right. I mean, you know, obviously the article is tongue in cheek as well a lot of the ways through. It's not like he's bashing nerds throughout the entire article. Of course. But there is a bit of angry old nerd. Like, there is a bit of, like, these were the way things were in my day. I had to grow up reading Lord of the Rings. I didn't get three movies that I could watch that everybody would love, you know. Like,
sure.
I had to grow up... D&D was satanic for a while when I was a kid. Now it's, like, in, you know, in the mall. You can go play it anywhere and stuff like that. But, but I mean...
But at least you can be a part of it now.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't... It was a weird... I think it's weird how much traction the article got, honestly. Mm-hmm. It's odd that... I think it's just based on his... It shows how huge Patton Oswalt is, which...
Yeah.
You know.
He is. I mean, you know, he does everything now. Stand up. He writes for a lot of things.
Yeah.
He guest stars in, like, every nerdy show known to man.
Well, but I mean, he also was in King of Queens and, like, you know, I mean, the dude, you know.
Ratatouille.
Yeah, like.
All right. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
He's, I don't know. It was an interesting article. I definitely encourage everybody to go read it. You know, I don't know that we're totally doing a reaction piece to it. A lot of people wrote reactions from, like, Gawker to some other blogs and things. I just thought it was interesting that his idea that this world of everything is everywhere has to explode before you can, you know, progress. I think is just not. I don't totally agree with it. You know.
No, I'm totally with you. I thought it was interesting just because there's always going to be the people that hold their nerdiness so dear to them, and they don't want to share that with anyone, and they feel like it's something that needs to be guarded. You know. And I don't. I would much rather it be like it is now and get respect for, like, you know, from people for the things that I enjoy, which is cool.
Or even just bring other friends into that circle.
Yeah.
You know, something they wouldn't do before. You could get new people to play D&D or...
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I mean, I can... Like, he talks about how he was young enough that Watchmen was coming out, like, in series when he was reading comics, which he still does, but when he was collecting comics as a kid or a teenager or something... And he talks about, like, well, back then you had to wait to see what was going to happen. And then you had to kind of, like, reread things to, you know, like, he kind of talks about how the idea that time was is a much greater asset back then than it is now. Because now everything's so instant that, like, if I don't understand the ending to a TV show, I can hop online, look it up, and then find out what I missed. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, where to him it was like, you had to rewind the VHS and rewatch it. You had to reread Watchmen to figure out, you know, what the hell was in Rorschach's journal was what he was talking about. Mm-hmm. Like, to me, I'm like, yeah, that's true. Everything is everywhere in that sense. But at the same time, I just discovered the Green Lantern series where I read through all those. I could have hopped online, but that kind of took the joy out of
that's
it.
That's what I'm
me.
Saying.
I went back
and just
choose
to
read
ignore it.
Yeah.
You know?
So, yeah.
Good stuff. The next thing we're going to do in our news segment is something we titled Ketchup Time. And that is not the condiment.
No.
Although that would be delicious. And I kind of want to go get something to eat after this, now that I mentioned ketchup.
It's just a new segment where we just pound bottles of ketchup.
Yes.
It's
ketchup
time. It's going to be awesome.
You're going to get drunk on lycopene.
This
yeah.
delicious.
Let's see. A couple of, I think it was maybe a week or two ago, we posted an article about the holidays being a good time to catch up on things.
Yeah.
Because typically you'll have a week or two off of work or school. And
a lot of people don't, unfortunately.
Yeah, a lot of people don't.
We're lucky to have careers where we do get a little bit of
yeah,
a breather.
A little bit of downtime. So, I mean, even if you're just like sitting at home on Christmas Day, you know, you just want to do something. So we just, I wrote a couple of things, you know, what I want to get done over the break. And, I thought this would be a good time to talk about what you guys have been reading, playing, catching up on, maybe like things that you're getting into for the first time that you just didn't catch the first time around.
Yeah.
Or, Matt?
I moved.
No.
I mean, that's taking a lot of the time, but as I said last night, I almost threw a fan out of a window and I was mad, and I, like, once I got it up,
that's what she said.
the joke of the night, Melissa said that I was struggling with the fan, and I got mad at her, and I was like, I'm conquering this fucker. I'm not struggling with it. And like, when I conquered it, I was like, I conquered the fan. I'm playing video games. And I sat down on the couch and I fired up Portal. I played a ton of Portal. I literally played from, I think, 10 till 3 in the morning.
And you've never played Portal?
Never
before,
played it before. I got it for the Mac and never played through it when it came out on Steam.
Mm-hmm.
when I bought Half-Life, I didn't get the orange box. I bought it in series on Steam and played it through, like, okay. Half-Life 1 and 2 and Episode 3, 9, 7. And it's fun. It's really fun.
Still
like,
holds
I mean,
up, right? Yeah.
Totally addictive. It's like they put crack in it or something. Because I'm playing, like, could not stop playing. I was exhausted. I'm like, at the end of it, I was doing the, like, in the couch thing like this and, like, eyes closing as I'm, like, running around. Then I'd be like, where the fuck am I? Where am I right now? I don't know where I am in this building. But I got through all the puzzles. I'm in, like, the warehouse now. I've been in the warehouse for, like, an hour running around while she taunts me and tells me I keep taking the wrong turn.
And you're learning about cake.
Yeah, I'm learning about cake.
I always get so excited when students write the cake is a lie on their papers.
Do they do that?
They do it randomly all the time. Because, you know, kids are trying to be cool or funny or hip or whatever, and all of a sudden you'll get this, like, you know, little goth kids, like, cake is a lie. And I'm just
and you're
like,
I know what that means.
I know what that means, and they're, like, totally blown away.
Yeah.
It's great.
So that, played Comic Jumper, finally got into it. I had never actually gotten into the game. I didn't even realize I was, like, playing it. I was playing the beginning over and over again, never actually... Because I kept dying, and then I'd turn it off, and then when I... Cause it's hard. It's a platformer, and it's like Mega Man. Like,
oh, really?
Yeah, I mean, it's fucking hard. It's not an easy platformer.
You didn't actually make it to the game as...
Yeah, like,
as
you, like, if you play 30 minutes through and you don't die, like, then you start the game. And
a lot
you're
of
like,
games are typically
oh,
like that
I'm
now.
In the game. I get it.
Yeah.
So, like, when I started the game, started playing through, it's a lot of fun. But it is a really... Like, you were saying you don't like platformers. Like, this is not the game. It is... Actually, not Mega Man. I would say Contra. Or Contra mixed with Mega Man, like side-scrolling, tons of shooting, just like endless bullets, you know, that you're just firing.
Yeah,
that's cool.
But a really, really awesome sense of humor to it. Very weird, like, there's a part, like, when you get to the beginning of the game, when you play through it, it goes live action all of a sudden, and it's like in a comic shop, and there's like people, like, the game developers are all like different actors in,
that's cool.
in the game, and so it was cool. I haven't really been reading anything, and TV-wise, we're going to talk about later, so...
Okay.
Good deal. Me?
Ash, are you on your 13th playthrough of Mass Effect?
Oh, man. I have really... I got really lucky, because we got a second 360, and my wife's been playing a lot, so that means I get to play a lot, too, because she can't complain about me playing if she's playing. So I have had more time to play this break than, I think, in my life. So I finished Arkham Asylum...
Which was
good. It was really good. The end couple bosses were pretty challenging. I had a Poison Ivy, and then I didn't have I killed Joker first try, but Poison Ivy was a pain in the ass. There was a lot of timing, like learning the boss timing and everything that I hate so much. But Arkham was good, and I can understand why people are excited for the next one. Is there a strange sound coming from the other room? What else did I do?
I think I know what it is, but...
I picked up Battlefield Vietnam. So, after I beat Arkham, I kind of listened to Scott's advice, and I was like, you know what, I need to really enjoy this break, and I need to play a bunch of old crap that I really wanted to. And I got lucky right after Christmas. GameStop was doing one of their buy two, get one free...
Used
deals, and they... And then you have discount on the Power Plus card thing, so you get a little bit more off with that. So I got so many games. I picked up the Gears games for my wife, because I'm forcing her to play them. And
awesome.
I picked up, Deadly Premonition.
What is that?
Deadly Premonition is an RPG.
You did pick it up?
I did pick it up.
Oh, wow.
Isn't
that cheap, the game that was really cheap when it came out?
I think it might have been. It's like... Oh, go ahead, Ash.
Yeah, but it's a crazy, crazy Japanese RPG. That's like a... Not your typical Japanese RPG. It's more of like an adventure game that you're trying to solve a murder. And everyone kind of likens it to Twin Peaks.
Okay.
A lot of people say that it has the best story in years in a game. And the problem is it has... the absolute worst gameplay, like, in the history of fucking games. So I'm thinking, like, okay, I'll just struggle through this, and I got maybe an hour into it, and they were not kidding. The gameplay is atrocious.
Now, is the game difficult, or is it just terrible? Or both?
It's... Dude, it is... I can't even explain how bad the game is.
But you're a huge Twin Peaks fan.
I am.
Is it paying off in that way? Because that's what I hear. Everyone says massively influenced by Twin Peaks.
Yeah, it's really interesting. Like, it starts, I'm not going to spoil it, the first 5 minutes, it starts off with a grisly murder. There's someone that's basically crucified, and these little children witness the crucifixion of this person, and the person's all, like, gutted and eviscerated. And
right.
It's disgusting. And then you play, an FBI agent who's going in to investigate in this strange small town. And just like Agent Cooper would talk to Diane on his dictaphone, well, this agent, instead of talking to the dictaphone, he talks to himself all the time.
By the way, I giggle when people say dictaphone.
Dictaphone, yeah. He talks to himself because it appears that he may be schizophrenic, so he talks to his other personality. And he, like, smokes cigarettes and pops pills, and he's crazy. So it's really cool, and I want to give it a shot, but at the time, I was like, I can't do this. So I put it down, and I had also picked up Bayonetta, and I picked up... I can't remember what else I picked up, but, Bionic Commando. I don't want to talk about it, but...
Oh, the 360, the full version?
The full version.
Okay.
For $8, I got
Bionic Commando. Oh, that's... For $8, that's a phenomenal game.
Is it? For $8?
Yeah, for $8, it's great.
Okay, good.
Full retail, that would have been a tremendous nightmare. Mistake, yeah.
But yeah, I picked up Bayonetta, and I wrote an article sort of about Platinum Games and how I feel about Platinum Games, and you can check the article out on the site. But I was really impressed with Bayonetta, and it's definitely not for everyone.
Did you finish it?
I did. I finished it.
Short game?
No.
Okay.
It was like almost 20 hours.
Okay, cool.
And 20 hours for an action game is a lot.
Yeah, that's
pretty
good.
It's a lot. So it was, it really tested my limits, my video game endurance. So, meaning that some of the fights were so incredibly challenging, I didn't know if I could actually do it.
Right.
And that just made me want to try and try again. Because when you die, it puts a little X next to the continue screen, like how many times you died.
Oh,
and there are some boss fights that are like all the way across are like X's. You're like, fuck, this boss is just kicking my ass.
Yeah, yeah.
And, but it's great, though. It has the precision of, like, a Capcom fighting game in terms of, like, your technique, like, moves you can pull off and things like that. Visually gorgeous. The story is really... different, strange, like, you know, very, very Japanese, very, very off the wall and metaphysical and weird. But the character of Bayonetta was very, very likable. The ads kind of paint her to be this, like, overly sexual, you know, caricature.
Yeah.
But she's really not. I mean, she's, like, totally, you know, dresses like a crazy witch and things like that. But I don't really think it was an overly sexual game. Unless you're turned on by, like, cartoon, you know, nudity.
Sure.
Some people, I guess, are.
Totally am.
But yeah, definitely, if you can pick Bayonetta up for, like, $15, $20, I think I got it for $16, $17, definitely do it. I mean, just to...
$15 new on Amazon right now.
Is it?
Yep.
That's what I'm saying. It is such a well-made game. It is so polished and so well done. It's totally worth it.
And see, that's what's cool. It's like I think I said in an earlier podcast, if you can wait to play this year's games, you know, at the end of next year, they're going to be $15.
Yeah.
So whatever falls through the cracks, that's what you play over the summer. That's what you play
absolutely
right now.
Absolutely. Yeah. Bionic Commando, Deadly Premonition, all these games that were, you know,
I How about play, but... TV, books, anything else?
TV, over the break? Books. I'm reading, finishing up this. And then everyone's going to laugh at me, but I do read the Gears of War books. And this is Anvil Gate. This is the third book. It's by Karen Travis. And Karen Travis writes a lot of actual military books. And she writes not Clone Wars books, but the Republic Commando books. She's actually a really, really solid writer. And they kind of tasked her with writing Gears 3. And so this is the third book that she's written in the Gears of War universe, and this ties Gears 2 and Gears 3 together, so I'm kind of finishing this one up, which I've had for a while, but it's also really solid. So that's all I've been doing. I've been gaming a lot, and also doing my fourth playthrough of Mass Effect 2 on
Fantastic.
Insanity. And
terrific.
And I'm almost done.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Wow. Let's see. I guess like Matt, I didn't really have a lot of time to do a lot of stuff because my Christmas break, in terms of visiting family and stuff, became very extended and dragged out longer than I thought it was going to be. But that was fun. But I sat down today and played Assassin's Creed Brotherhood for about 6 hours. And for whatever reason, like, I'm really not trying to get 100% synchronization throughout the whole game, but I enjoy just playing the game.
Dude, I had the same reaction that you're having right now, which is where I just started playing. And then, like, because for as much as the nitty-gritty complaints I had, I just started playing. And then I was like, before I knew it, I'm like, I guess I'm 100%ing. And I was like, yeah. I don't know why I am. I don't really care about 100%ing, but,
no.
Like, I just like running around the world and doing stuff, and, like...
Right. It's just kind of fun to do the stuff that is in the game, you know? Like,
mm-hmm.
in terms of just, you know, like, I'm going to climb something and get a flag just because I think it'll be cool to climb to the top of this
mm-hmm.
thing and then jump off with a parachute, you know? You just get into it and you have fun. So I've been playing a lot of that. Steam, like I mentioned on the website, has been having, you know, one of their holiday sales. I picked up a couple of games. I picked up The Witcher, the first one. I picked up some like smaller like indie releases. I picked up a game called Bob Came in Pieces, and another game called Shatter. And the only one that I played, you know, like in any capacity, was Shatter. And what Shatter is? It's actually kind of cool. Shatter is like the old breakout games where you have the paddle and you go bounce the ball against the, you know, the bricks or whatever. But what makes this game different is that you have the ability to sort of like push or pull the like ball towards you. So you can kind of influence the direction.
Like gravity, essentially?
Yeah, you can kind of influence like the direction of the ball while it's in flight. So you're not just bouncing it and waiting for it to come back.
Huh.
So like the gravity changes, you know, because of what you do and because of what some of the elements in the game do while you're playing. There's also like a shield ability. Like things, like the bricks sometimes will come at your paddle, and you have to sort of deflect them or shield away. And it's actually a lot of fun. I played through the story mode, and it wasn't something I intended to play, but it was part of a contest they were having. And
right.
For like $2, it was like a blast. And, you know, like the only thing that I thought was kind of funny is that, you know, like most of these kind of like smaller indie games, everything was neon colored with like techno music pumping in the background. But, you know, you kind of expect that when you see some indie games. So you just kind of go with it, you know.
I love the speaking of pumping techno beats. I love the I Made a Game with Zombies in It soundtrack.
Oh my god.
It
sounds
Matt,
like bad Smashing
Matt
Pumpkins.
Hates
it's so
it, but
awful.
It's so good.
Ugh, it's so bad.
So good.
So bad.
If you guys want an amazing.
Was it $1 too
for
the game?
It's $1. It's a 2-stick shooter on Xbox Live Arcade.
It's top down too, right?
Yeah, top down 2-stick shooter called I Made a Game with Zombies in It. It is amazing just for the music alone.
For the music, it's so bad.
It is so good.
You guys were listening to it, I was like, what is this, like a Smashing Pumpkins reject song? And you're like, it's not, it's good. I'm like, oh, it's so bad.
Oh,
I think you're just jealous. I think you're
jealous.
Jealous
of, yeah.
I think you're just jealous of the zombie game.
Right.
Yeah, it seems like we've been doing a lot of stuff. It's been like insanely good to have this time off, just because
mm-hmm.
November, I think, for both my wife and I, it was a super stressful time, and it's nice to just, we haven't done anything.
I thought of something else too. I watched season 3 of The Guild.
Oh yeah, yeah, awesome.
Yeah, on Netflix.
Was that the one with the stuntman, or is that season 2?
Season 2, I think, was a separate...
Season 2 is Stuntman. Season 3 is when they introduced the other guild.
Yeah,
oh,
when the rival
guild
shows up.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah, and that was kind of funny because, you know, like, I don't really know, like, a lot about the guild, and I don't play
sure.
World of Warcraft, but
yeah.
I'm kind of like, I can see the different types of, you know, the character archetypes
mm-hmm.
of each of the people on the show,
mm-hmm.
and I never really... I was like, okay, so they've got... All the major players are down, and then you see the evil guild, where like people are cursing constantly and just like
oh, yeah.
total d bags. And I was like, oh yeah, those people play those games too.
Yes, and that's the beautiful thing about the guild is it captures those archetypes so well and it's so accurate. Like Clara, who's like, you know, the heavier set mom
yeah.
and like locks the kids in like the little cage. Like those people were in my guild. Like just such bad parents. You could just hear the kids screaming in the background.
And they're just like, shut up!
Yeah, shut up, I'm raiding! You're like, a kid is fucking dying.
Yeah.
And you are telling it to shut up so you can get virtual items. It's amazing. So, yeah.
I don't even really remember in the first two seasons any swearing being in the guild. And then they introduce, like, the other...
Yeah.
You know, like, the the rival...
It's his name, Fox.
The rival Fox. Guild, yeah. And they're just like, fuck you, motherfucker! Dude. You know, like...
Wait till you watch season four. Some of the stuff that happens is just ridiculous.
I can't wait. So, I watched that and
Xbox Live.
Pretty stoked.
Because they don't that rival guild doesn't show up till like the last few shows, right?
No, that's that they.
Or is that season two? They show up at the very end of season two.
No, in season three, like they're introduced in the first episode because they're waiting outside of GameStop to pick up the expansion.
Right. And that's I think the last episode of season two is the beginning of season three, and then they do it to go through to season three.
I see.
Yeah.
And then it's all about them, and then they, like, defeat them, right?
Yeah, it's like a showdown, like, at the end of
season four is phenomenal, then. Yeah. You got, like, yeah, it really hit its stride, I think, during that point.
So, unfortunately, that's about all the time that I've had to do stuff, but
hey,
still watching BSG as well.
It's a busy time of year. Can't go wrong with BSG.
So, so next up, there is a new comic coming out. We were required by law to talk about Mass Effect 2, or Mass Effect.
Sorry, man.
No, it's okay, because I actually wanted to talk about this. Mass Effect Evolution is the colon name of the comic book. And this one is about the Elusive Man. It is a prequel set many years before he ever shows up in the Mass Effect world.
I think you're going to get your first contact war.
But all about... possibly. Yeah, I don't know.
It does look like Turians.
Possibly, but it's all about... This is man we know as the Elusive Man.
Awesome.
Is there a vampire on chat roulette right now?
I think there is, yeah. Yeah, we always...
Sorry, I called you a vampire. I didn't mean it.
When we do this, sometimes we have chat roulette.
You're in black
just
and white.
See what random stuff. Last week, we had a guy with, like, strange striped face paint that watched us for, like, a half
an
hour.
Yeah, he sat on the show.
He was like a juggalo, right?
Yeah. He was a juggalo. And this week, we have... That looked like... Oh, I don't even... They're such scary.
That might have been a chocolate starfish.
Yeah, it could have been.
So, cut for editing. Elusive Man, a comic.
Yes.
You guys excited? I'm excited. I want to know.
I am. Here's my problem, though. I'm going to kind of play devil's advocate here. I don't know how I feel about finding out about him in comic book form, because that was one of the most intriguing things, I think, about the second game is... You had this character that was your salvation, and
I'm being watched while I'm watching them.
Yes,
sorry.
You have this character that is your salvation, but also you kind of know deep in your gut that he is a bad, bad person.
Right.
Mm.
And so you don't know anything about him. You don't know his name other than that he's called the Elusive Man. You know that he runs this giant like organization called Cerberus that controls pretty much everything, but other than that, you know nothing, okay? And you just know that he's basically like a white supremacist. He wants to keep, you know, humanity... Well, he is.
Well, he's like a human supremacist.
Human supremacist. Yeah,
like,
yeah,
like the equivalent
true,
of...
True,
right.
Human supremacist. So, and so now they're coming out with this comic that supposedly tells his backstory and a lot about him. So I'm kind of like, do I really want to get it from a comic, or... Do I want to get it from the game? You know.
Well,
I mean?
I think they're essentially telling you you're not going to get it from the game.
Sure.
So if you would like this content, you will go pick up the comic book and read it.
Yeah, that's interesting. to me, though. Yeah. I mean, how do you guys feel about that?
Well, based on what I've read and what you said, I'm personally disappointed that there's not gaming content for the First Contact War.
Yeah, I mean, why isn't there a First Contact War? Like, that seems like such a logical game they could be making, and they just apparently are not. It's not of their interests.
Who knows? Who knows what they have?
But I don't know. I mean, this isn't a First Contact War comic. This is just the Elusive Man comic. It might be set during the First Contact War, but it's not going to be the First Contact War comic.
The art's beautiful.
The art's always good on their stuff, though.
Yeah, the art's really, really nice.
Yeah.
How do you guys feel about content in terms of like games and stuff being spread across other mediums, though?
I kind of like it.
You do?
I mean, you read the Gears books.
Yeah.
And I actually read the Mass Effect books.
Yeah. I read a few of those, too.
And...
There's only two, I think.
There's a...
Three?
Third one, yeah.
I read the first two.
I mean, when the world in which a game takes place is interesting, and you kind of want to just immerse yourself in it, it's just nice to have anything to look at.
Yeah. Right.
But in between games or, you know, outside of games or whatever, you know?
I mean, like, yeah, I see nothing wrong with it. I don't mind it. I like cross
medium, whatever.
Yeah. I think it fit. I think this world fits really well in books and comics. And as Scott will happily tell you, there's a lack of. Well, I don't want to say a lack. There are some out there, but there's not an overload of good sci-fi comic books. They don't really exist. There's a lot of fantasy, a lot of capes and cowls, a lot of
really surprising,
you know, human interest story kind of stuff. But there's not a lot of like sci-fi shit.
Yeah.
So.
No, I'm excited for it, and I'll probably pick it up. The Liara Tassani comic that kind of bridged Mass Effect 1 and Mass Effect 2, that was... Well, actually, it kind of just bridges the destruction of the Normandy, too.
Yeah.
But it is... I think it's going to be good. I think it's going to be good. And I just kind of... My feelings about this, I don't know if I love the idea of having to go to other sources to get the whole story. And, like, even though I read, like, the Gears books and I read the Dragon Age books, like, there was stuff, because I read the Dragon Age books and my wife's playing Dragon Age right now. There's stuff that I read in the books that it factors in so heavily to what's going on. And then, you know, it's kind of this big gap in the story that you're required to go and, like, you know, spend X amount of hours reading this if you want to know the whole story.
But, I mean, you know. I don't know. If you watch the Harry Potter movies and you don't read the books, you're going to miss out on a percentage of the story. Like, to me, it's like, if they have to sacrifice some... If they can give you the story elsewhere, you know, and they have to sacrifice some of that time in a game and make you read a book, you know, like, God forbid you read a book over, you know, playing the game or whatever. I'm okay with it. I think they'll be well done. The other comics are actually well done that they did. You know, they're not bad at all. There's two other storylines I think they did through the comics. Well, this is their third.
No, this is the second comic series for Mass Effect.
Oh, that was the third.
And then there's
three. I don't think this is a series. I think this is just
the four, you know, books or whatever. And then there's like three novels, I guess.
Yeah.
And the sweet iPhone game.
And the sweet iPhone game.
Fuck the iPhone, man.
it wasn't a good game.
Did you play it?
Yeah, I played it.
I played it as well.
We got booted from Chat Roulette again. P.S. I just want to say while we're taking a second, since we got booted from Chat Roulette, do you think people on Chat Roulette think we're doing a podcast solely on Chat Roulette?
I think so.
Like, they get to it and they're like, are these guys only doing a podcast on Chat Roulette? That seems weird.
For one person.
Yeah. At a time.
Yeah, like 2 minutes at a time, right?
It's hilarious.
And if you put it all together, you get a prize.
Yeah. So I think that ends our discussion on the Mass Effect comic book.
Yeah.
I don't really know. Does it have a release date?
January
2011 is all something? I see. Cool. Yeah, so this month.
According to the BioWare...
Comic book release dates are like hip-hop record release dates. They're tentative at best when they release them.
Really?
It's like, this will come out on January 3rd, 10th.
Someone in the BioWare forum says, Mass Effect Evolution covers the first Contact War. It's a four-part comic series about the elusive man.
Oh, I thought it was
coming
a
out on January 19th, I believe.
Whoa.
I thought it was a one-off, so yeah. I stand corrected.
January
19th. Series.
Interesting. So the next thing we had to talk about, Matt's shaking his head at me. I affectionately titled it 12-Hour Sessions Kill Koreans.
No, you titled it 12-Hour Sessions Kill Koreans!
I did put Kill Koreans in all caps. And then I kind of said, what the hell? I have 12-Hour Sessions all the time, and I don't ever die. So what's the big difference? So I wanted to ask...
Here's the funny part. We're about to have the least knowledgeable, least well-informed conversation about why Koreans die when they play video games for 12 hours at a time.
No, I have the article open right here.
Well, that's good. We're just going to read the article?
No. I want to discuss... No, I do have some information I want to share. And it has to do with the internet cafes that Koreans and Chinese frequent and the conditions in those internet cafes that lead to people dying frequently in Asia.
Okay.
See, there you go. It wasn't just like, Koreans, they did.
Are you gonna start a charity for Korean gamers?
No, I just find it fascinating because it's not a headline that we see very often here in the States. And you see it a lot, that they'll play so much in Korea that normally it's StarCraft, but they will die from playing so much. Why do you think this is happening?
Well, I mean, are the cause of deaths getting released here? I mean...
It's generally, it's malnutrition and just like...
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And they have so many energy drinks that their hearts explode.
My first question is, why did these people not play these games at home? Do they not have access to...
All right. So...
Is this a cultural...
Who posted an article about Japan graphics? You did.
I did.
About sales numbers. I don't know if you saw my response, but...
I may have, yeah.
You asked something about why do Japanese people like portable gaming? And there's a reason that I know that I've heard, at least in the past.
Yeah.
I'm not Asian expert here. I'm not Trisha Takanawa reporting for Rated NA.
Well, in your semi-educated opinion, what is the problem?
Houses in Asia, especially in populated areas of Korea and China and Japan, like, it's hard for us to imagine the amount of people in these areas. Like, New York is a massive city for us. There's 8 million people inside of Manhattan, right? Or something like that. 8 million people inside of Manhattan is, like, half of what sits inside of Tokyo. It's half of what sits inside of, Beijing. There's a ton of people in a very tiny space. Broadband is not what it should be. I mean, they actually have amazing broadband for the amount of people sucking off the line. Like, they've got great internet, but it's not what it should be, and it's crowded. It's packed, and homes are not, you know... They're not this. They don't come home to their 3-bedroom with a 50-inch plasma sitting in the living room or, you know, LCD or whatever, and, like, full surround and just hanging out, like, lounging their tiny little apartments, and people leave. They get out, and... Korea, especially, is not a rich country. It's very poor, and they go to these kind of shared internet centers so that they can play games because that's what they have access to.
And most of the families in Asia are what they call joint family, which means that everybody, aunts, uncles, grandparents, they all live under one roof, and there may be, you know, one TV for everybody to share. So I think if you want a game, you need a handheld system, you know, because...
Or you go to the cafe. To play World of
Warcraft. You don't eat for several days and you pound caffeine and you fucking die.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I see these articles. Kotaku loves to post them because they're kind of scandalous. Because
their name is Kotaku. Yes. I would say that I think part of it's probably just the gamer culture over there and the idea of competition in gaming, you know? I mean, StarCraft is not a game over there.
Right,
it is a sport.
It is a sport, which is kind of crazy.
People duel in that game to see who's going to win. It's crazy, man. I don't know that I have much else to say about it. It's just kind of nuts that they'll let that happen. I mean, you have at some point it has to be a decision that you have made that this is what you're going to do.
Yeah.
Death be damned.
I mean, you were saying that you got addicted playing Portal just for, like, you know, 5 hours, and then could you just imagine?
I turned it off though after when I was like, I need to sleep at some point tonight. I turned it off.
But I'm saying, like, you've got your seat in the cafe. Yeah. Like, maybe this is the computer you like to
play at.
Those
are crowded seats too. I mean, it's like you get a seat, you buy it for X amount of hours.
Right, you got the chair you want, maybe in the spot you want, where, like, the AC's not hitting you. You know, you got, like, you're close enough to the concession stand where you can get, like, your monster drinks, and you're just like,
do they have monster drinks?
I don't know, whatever the, you know, like. Godzilla drink or whatever.
Scott's the racist.
Whoa, you went there. At least you didn't say Godzilla. And again, I can say this because I am married to an Asian. I have the right.
I just thought monster, Godzilla.
I have the right.
You know, if we were in America, it would be monster truck drink or something.
Yeah. Don't try to dig yourself out.
We're
just,
even now.
Yeah, sure.
And you just don't want to leave. You're like, I'm just going to do the next thing, and then do the next thing, and then do the next thing, and then you die.
You die.
Do battles last 12 hours in StarCraft for these guys, or are these multiple battles that they're going over? Like, if two Koreans play against each other, is it an epic battle
Did Kotaku say what he was playing?
No.
Or, like, let's say if it was WoW something. I mean, what would be the longest single thing that you would have to do all in one session?
Wow.
Well, there's instances in World of Warcraft where people will try and farm a rare spawn.
Yeah.
And they'll basically sit on their mount and, like, fly around a zone until it spawns, and it could be days.
Right.
And I've heard of people in my guild, my old guild, used to do shit like that, where they'd be on for days, and they'd have, like, they'd take turns with someone, though. Like, they'd take, like, power naps and wait for this thing to pop up. But it's definitely not healthy. I mean, even, like, even today, like, since my wife's been playing Dragon Age, and I'm playing through my Insanity run through a Mass Effect, I played, like, probably 8 hours straight today, and I got to the point where, like, I was feeling kind of sick. I was just like, I need to get up and shower and walk around, because I have been shooting crap for 8 hours straight.
You got
straight.
That couch stink,
Yeah, I was just shot, you know? But, I don't know, it's, you know, I guess we have the option of getting up and taking a shower and walking away, and I guess they feel like they don't sometimes.
Well, I just think home gaming here is not home gaming there.
Yeah.
It's too different.
Yeah, it probably does all have to do with population and geography in the scheme of
things. He was playing an FPS.
He was playing an FPS?
Yes.
Well, that'll definitely kill you. 12 hours in FPS and you're gonna die.
Like, maybe you're just... Well, he was probably, like, spiked the whole time then. You know, like, I'm just saying the adrenaline of playing FPS. You know, like, if you're playing WoW and you're just farming for gold or items or something, you can kind of zone out and...
19-year-old college student died after 12-hour session with an FPS. That's all it says.
Huh.
It could have been, like, Counter-Strike, Team Fortress, something
maybe
that, like...
Maybe that game
the
is,
the victim,
like...
identified only as Moon, started gaming at 2 a.m., took a break at 10:30 a.m. to get some breakfast, then resumed shortly after around 2 p.m. He collapsed and was taken to the hospital, pronounced DOA.
Maybe that game is, like, the Ring of games.
Ringu.
Yeah, it's like, if you stop playing to eat, you would die. And he stopped to eat, and what happened?
He died.
Dead.
It goes to show
you... Can
you
please put dramatic music in that?
It goes to show you should never stop playing video
you
games.
You should never stop playing. Alright, so the reviews. We got some reviews coming up.
Yep, we got some reviews. Couple things we're going to do. You know, some Ash Boner reviews and then some Matt Boner reviews. And
yes.
We got some open thread discussion, and that'll be it. So we'll be back in just a minute right after this. Is going to review something that I think all of us will be shocked that he wants to review.
Sorry, guys. It'll be brief. The only reason I want to review it is because I had such a good time with it. Gears of War does these little things periodically where they did Thanksgiving, which we talked about, and they actually changed
which
the
one
content.
Did we do?
We did Torkbow Tag Weekend, which was just
a random weekend.
Yeah. And Thanksgiving was obviously during Thanksgiving, and this year they did something called the 12 Days of Gearsmas, and they altered the content of their Horde mode to make it different. And so they altered it 12 different times, and each day was a different thing that happened. Like, for instance, the first day was concussion grenades, flaming blood mounts, and then extra clips, extra frag grenades, only melee monsters, blah, blah, blah. So every single day was a different thing. So, like I said earlier, I bought my wife a copy of Gears 1 and Gears 2 for, like, I think I spent $10 for both of them or something ridiculous. And my buddy Derek got his girlfriend to play, and we played through, like, 30 waves of Horde mode during the 12 days of Gearsmas.
30's a lot, too.
30's a lot, yeah, and we taught...
Was it 50 tops?
Yeah, 50's the last level. So We played through with our respective lady friends and kind of taught them the ropes and how to play, and they actually really had a lot of fun.
That's
which
awesome.
It was her first real exposure to a third-person shooter, and she's never played FPSs or anything. She's always been...
Chrissy?
Yeah, this is Chrissy. She's always been more of an RPG and platform kind of person. And so for her to, like, actually get in and enjoy a third-person or even a first-person shooter was, like, a huge step. Because it's hectic, it's crazy. There's a lot of different buttons, but I think the cooperative nature of Gears of War took all that pressure away. She didn't have to worry about another player coming up and shooting her and like teabagging her and stuff like that. It was all of us working together and things like that. So she did really well and we had a lot of fun with it. So if you probably won't hear this by the time it's over, but it goes on until January 2nd. And it's yeah. So you won't hear it, but definitely keep an eye if you still have your old...
They do these, though, year-round. Yeah. I mean, they pop up, like, every few months they do a new event.
And I think it's a great idea because it's free. It's not DLC. They literally just go in and tweak the code, and you get to play altered content for free.
Now, they can't add, like Santa hats to the baddies or anything, right? But they
sure
can
they
kind
could.
Of... Really?
That would have to require a graphical patch.
Oh, okay. But they can make these other changes kind of like on the fly, more or less.
Like, for instance, one day they had the little guys, the wretches. All the wretches had shotguns. And normally they only have their fists. So they can change the dynamics of the game without doing like major changes like graphically. So, you know, they could do things like alter the gravity or, you know... they can change the guns that you have and things like that too, which is cool, and it's free. So like I said, if you have an old copy of Gears laying around, they're going to be doing these up until, I'm assuming, up until when Bulletstorm comes out in February.
Oh, cool.
So look for it.
Cool.
Yeah,
yeah, those were fun. We did the Torquebow one and we had a blast. I think we got pretty far too, didn't
we?
I think we were in the 40s possibly.
Yeah. Cooperatively, that game's pretty hard to beat with a good group of friends. It's just a lot of fun.
Oh, it is.
You know,
yeah,
like,
definitely.
I think
co-op, you know, this is probably a discussion we can have some other time. I think co-op is like the multiplayer that I look for. I could give two shits that I can go online and play with 16 people I don't know or care about on COD Blops, but like you put four of us in Halo Reach or you put four of us in Gears and like I have just a blast, you know.
We might have to do a multiplayer versus co-op discussion.
Yeah,
in the future.
Well,
yeah,
I think we would all choose co-op.
Yeah, but we can kind of explore the differences, you know.
Yeah.
So mine is actually one of the things that I've been doing over this break, and a little bit before it, but a little while ago, and I mentioned this on the site, and got some positive feedback to it too. I guess some other people are watching this, but a little while ago, I started picking up on the show Eureka on Netflix. Eureka is a show on Sci-Fi, airs currently. I think they're in season 5 right now. And Felicia Day got picked up in season 4. That was like one of the big announcements at last year's Comic-Con.
Oh,
so she's
cool.
She's been a recurring character. And it is just a really good, solid show. And I think the reason Ash kind of put this on the list and wanted to talk about it was that I talked to him the other night at dinner about where I got to in season 2, and I actually almost, like, I was, like, teary-eyed while watching the show.
Wow.
And this show is, like, it's not that kind of show. It's a goofy, lighthearted X-Files is probably the best way to put it.
Mm-hmm.
It's very much, like, crime of the day or, like, mystery of the day, mystery of the week kind of thing. From week to week, there's overarching character stories that go on, you know, from episode to episode.
Did you call it, like, a lighthearted Fringe? I guess if Fringe is like X-Files, then sure.
I would say this is closer to X-Files in feeling and kind of content than Fringe is very heavy.
Fringe is
a lot heavier than...
There's like no comedy in Fringe.
Yeah, there's not.
Okay,
and
sure.
X-Files was kind of goofy. X-Files had a good sense of humor to it.
Yeah, Mulder, he was sort of dry. And
yeah, they were very sarcastic and dry. And this is that as well. Like the sheriff in the town is very kind of dry and sarcastic throughout the whole thing. He's basically like fish out of water. So the plot of the story is essentially this sheriff gets pulled into this town. He was a U.S. Marshal previous to it.
Mm-hmm.
And he stumbles into this town, Eureka. The sheriff that's currently there really likes him, takes him under his wing, and the next thing he knows, that sheriff retires, and he gets announced that he's going to be the new sheriff without him really knowing. And this is the first episode. So he's there, and then they... DOD agent there who kind of takes him and puts him under her wing somewhat and brings him in and shows him Eureka and what it really is. And that's when he gets his security clearance and all this stuff. And what it actually is a town full of the smartest scientists in all of America that are all working under contract for this company called Global Dynamics. that works for the government and builds, like, you know, things for the military and all this other stuff. And it's basically, like, these just crazy intelligent people making crazy things. All day long, every day of the year. And, like, basically things go wrong, obviously, when these things are getting made, and that's when the hijinks kind of start, and that's when, you know, that's when the mysteries come about. So every mystery is based in science and based in, like, something real that's kind of going on. What really got me is that as season one ended and season two began, they got really heavy into some of the character stories, and the episode that I was telling Ash about essentially is an episode of all about the sheriff and his daughter, and his ex-wife comes back into town and is possibly going to take his daughter away.
Oh, wow.
And, like, it goes kind of, like, it gets really heavy, but it gets heavy, and it's still lighthearted, but it's really kind of emotional, like
that's
serious.
That's our Emmy episode.
It's very honest, though. Like, it wasn't heavy-handed. It wasn't, like, ham-fisted, like, oh, God, you know.
Yeah.
Like, oh, they're trying to make you cry, they're trying to make you cry. It was just, like, it was just good, you know? It was just really solid writing, really solid, solidly done. I'm only in season two, so obviously I got a lot of catching up to do, because there's, like, a season two, three, three and a half, and four, I believe, right now.
That's how I am with so many series right now. It's just, like, it's hard, you know? It's hard to do.
And what's up with sci-fi doing mid-season, like, breaks, you know, and then releasing?
That's their season three and a half, I think. There was, like, three and three and a half. They split it, like, halfway through the middle.
Yeah, but that's kind of, like, the hotness for Sci-Fi Network is to now, like, split their seasons up.
I think they have the joy of being a cable channel and not having to worry about, you know, the sweeps weeks and all that kind of stuff. Like, it's not really an issue.
Well, sure, but I'm even talking about, you know, like, that's how they sell their DVDs, but every other series on TV just sells season three, not, like,
right,
season three and a half, and now you've got the other 12 episodes,
right.
You know, the first 12 come somewhere else, you know.
I will say that, you know, Battlestar Galactica aside, this is the most solid thing I've seen sci-fi do ever.
Have,
like,
you, I mean, this is not, I'm not trying to rival this, and this is definitely not as solid, but this is also how I found out about Sanctuary as well, which is also on,
right,
Netflix.
So Sanctuary, there was what, I think a short run called Warehouse 13 was one that Sci-Fi did.
Isn't that still on?
It might still be. It's only, like, in season two, I think. They're not that far along.
But it's oddly addicting. I mean, all this stuff on, like,
yeah,
those kinds of
just
shows,
really solidly done and just good. You know, I mean, it's hard to argue Eureka right now. I think it's just a show that, I think they nailed the tone, and that's what got it. That's what hooked me. I was a huge X-Files kid. Like,
yeah.
I mean, grew up on X-Files. Like, watched it. It was like must-see TV every week for me. So, Eureka is pretty interesting in that way. Like, they nailed that kind of feeling without it being a ripoff.
Oh, it's cool. Right.
You know?
It's definitely, yeah.
Plus, there's no ghosts and goblins. There's no, like, vampires and weird shit like that. It's all science. Like, it's all, everything that happens is, like, somehow based in science for them. And watching the sheriff, who's the one you're supposed to relate to, because he's, you
that's
know,
like the character you follow,
average Joe guy. Yeah, he's the one you follow. He's the one who's kind of, like, lost the entire time when people are talking about things and everything's, like, over your head and it's over my head. Like, I have no idea what they're talking about. And then they'll, like, break it down for him as they're talking, and then, like, you're like, oh yeah, yeah.
He's the character that, like, talks to the audience. You know, kind of, like, more or less. He's
like
the...
We watched an episode today, and, like, it was all about his daughter. It was an episode about his daughter today. And it was about the high school science fair and how that's, like, a big deal, because the science fair in Eureka, where everybody's a scientific genius, is, like, 10 times, you know, 100 times the science fair that might happen anywhere else. These kids are, like, inventing and discovering things that have never been done in the country.
Right.
You know? And the whole episode's about his daughter, because at the very beginning, he says to his daughter that he has an IQ of 111, and he thinks that that's, like, amazing, because he got over 100. You know, he's like, 11 points over 100. Who would have thought of that? You know, like, he has no idea that it goes up much higher, you know, like, and that's considered totally average. And that's what he's talking about the whole time, so his daughter's, like, working through it, but that's him. He's, like, just a goofy kind of everyday guy, every man. So, it's all on Netflix right now.
Really?
Yeah. Seasons 1 through 4 or 3.
The first,
I think 4 is not on it yet.
4 you can get
on Amazon. I think 4
right.
You can get on Amazon, and you can probably watch it on Hulu right now. But 1 through 3 are on, so I definitely recommend checking it out, picking it up, you know.
I will do so.
It is a fun,
especially as we gravitate away from cable, and
being able to catch up on these shows has been nice. Like that, and that's one that I caught, and now Melissa and I watch, like, weekly. Like, we watch it with dinner and stuff. It's just a fun show to watch together.
So. I'm down. I'm always up for hearing about new science fiction that I'm not currently watching, so.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Check it out. All right, we're going to come back. We're going to do an open thread. We have four topics. I have no idea which one we're actually going to do. Probably all three of them. That didn't make sense, but you'll know when I get there. So we're going to do three topics in the open thread, and that'll be that. And that'll be it for this week. So thanks for sticking around. We'll be back in just a minute. Topics here, boys.
Yeah,
what do we want to kick it off with?
Let's just start off with the things we're most excited about in 2011.
Do we want to ask the audience that isn't in the room with us right now? Because that was the third one I was going to drop off.
we're having a slim week this
week.
Yeah.
All right. Gone. All right. Well, things we're most excited about in 2011, Ash.
Wow. Let's see, in terms of games and such, 2011's an insane, insane year for sequels. We have, of course, the ever-popular Mass Effect 3 in quarter 4. More than likely, it looks like November or December quarter 4, which is going to be crazy. Got Gears 3 in November. We have... Man.
Uncharted 3.
Uncharted
3. Max Payne 3.
Yeah.
Resistance. Oh, yeah, they are doing the next Max Payne, aren't
Resistance
they?
Resistance
3. Yeah. It is definitely the year of sequels.
Did they say...
Diablo 3.
Yeah.
Is the Elder Scrolls charted for 2011, too?
Yeah, it's 2012.
Is it 2012?
If we survive the apocalypse, it's 2012. So, yeah, I'm definitely really excited about Gears of War and Mass Effect. Those are probably my two biggest for next year. And of course, very different games, but I love them both a lot. In terms of movies and TV and stuff like that, I think The Avengers comes out, right? So
Joss Whedon.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited to see Joss Whedon's Avengers. I know they're filming right now in Arizona, New Mexico area. I want to say that it's coming out next year, but I'm not 100% certain. So yeah, I am excited. Big Joss Whedon fan. A bunch of people that read this site and myself, we kind of grew up with Joss stuff, and not ashamed to admit that I think Buffy is a great show. And if anyone has never seen that show or just kind of dismissed it as being juvenile or stupid, you haven't really watched it, so you gotta watch it. But yeah, the fact that they put him in charge of the Avengers, it's scary for him because I know he's the type of guy that's probably very nervous about that, especially because his track record in the past few years hasn't been that awesome. But yeah, Avengers, terms of other movies and things like that, see, there's no big Tarantino stuff coming out, no big Rodriguez stuff. But those are the guys that I follow a whole lot. I'm interested to see what Resident Evil Raccoon City is going to be about, because that's supposed to be released this year, even though...
Is that the 3DS title?
No, this is actually the new PS3 360 game that's being developed by the SOCOM guys that we talked about. And that's supposed to be coming out late next year. And I'm excited because I love everything Resident Evil, but I'm also a little bit apprehensive because it could be sort of the swan song of the series.
Like if it turns into like a tactical, like third-person shooter or something?
I wouldn't mind a third-person shooter because it needs something new. Because, I mean...
The current formula is...
Yeah.
Like, already been exhausted.
Have you guys played through 5?
We played, like, the first level of 5.
And yeah,
we never played it since.
Yeah, well, it's because it's not scary. Mm-hmm. It's not scary, and it's actually not fun.
It's really
play.
Not scary when you co-op it.
Yeah.
At all.
No, because you can get each other up, right? You can, like, pick each
other
up.
Well, I mean, we're both laughing, running into each other, and running away from zombies, and it's kind of, like, more like, like bad action comedy, you know?
Yeah. And it was such a misstep. So, those are the nerdy things that I'm most excited about.
I actually believe Avengers is slated for May of 2012.
Oh, okay. So it's a ways
away.
Sir. Never mind.
Sorry.
I thought that was a little soon. What about you, Scott? What about?
I made a short list
of
some things that I'm excited about.
Somebody prepared.
Yeah.
As I was making this list, I was like, man, there are a lot of sequels. So, I mean, in addition to the games that you're excited about, a couple other games I wanted to highlight were Torchlight 2.
Oh, yeah.
And for those that don't know about Torchlight, it's a game that you can get on PC. You can pick it up via Steam. Torchlight is pretty much Diablo, and I wouldn't even be surprised if people from Blizzard left and made this game, because it's pretty much an updated version of Diablo 1. Torchlight, the first game, doesn't have... a multiplayer component, but the second game will have online co-op for dungeon crawling, and it's pretty much got all the stuff you love about Diablo, with the addition of a familiar as well. You have a pet that comes with you, and you can do stuff to the pet to like make it stronger or give it different abilities and stuff. But the game is a blast. Sequel's coming out, so I want to see it do well.
Awesome.
I also wrote down Deus Ex 3.
Okay.
And also something that originally,
it looks good, actually.
Something that started on the PC again. It's kind of like one of the first games to do a first-person shooter with a upgradable kind of like RPG component, where you would collect experience points, and then you decided how to enhance your character. So you could make the character jump higher or run faster, and that actually made a difference in how you would navigate the levels of the game. So if they can do anything close to what has already been done on the PC with the first two games, this one will be awesome. I also wrote Harry Potter 7, the second movie. So finally reach a conclusion with this. Other things to be excited about. Obviously, we talked about there's a Mass Effect comic coming out in January. I know the movie won't come out, but I really want to just hear something about the Mass Effect movie. Pretty much like
I don't think it's coming out.
Pretty much all we.
Dude, I'm gonna loop that in with Halo. I don't think you're gonna get.
Pretty much like the only thing that you've rumored to know is that Matthew Fox is in the running to be Commander Shepard.
Yeah.
Which totally makes sense and would work just fine, but I really want to see something. I want to see, like, an IMDb entry with like actual content in it.
Yeah.
Just show me something. You know what I mean?
Yeah. This guest, by the way, is my friend Mark.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Hey, Mark.
Let's see.
Hi, Mark.
Other things, I wrote 4G phones.
What?
Just because, I mean, like, this is, you know, we're talking about nerdy stuff.
No, that's cool. I didn't even think about tech.
Yeah. Like, there's some cool tech. So, like, all these providers are, you know, touting their 4G networks. And there's, like, Verizon has, like, an, you know, LTE, but they don't really have any phones that operate on that network.
We have made the decision we are leaving T-Mobile.
Oh, really? After
not just because of all the shit that happened, but like the worst reception in our house.
Oh yeah,
I thought it was totally fine. I swear to God, I was in the kitchen with full 3G one day when I was like renting it. You know, yeah. Like as I'm signing the contract, the bars just like disappeared on my phone. I can barely get on my phone, like at all in my house. Brutal. If I walk into certain rooms, it's gone.
Huh.
When I first moved into this house, granted this was a long time ago, and AT&T was still in the infantile stage of cellular technology.
Were they still singular?
But I used to have to use the phone in my fucking driveway when I lived in this house, when I first moved here.
Yeah.
I'd have all my phone calls I had to make from the driveway. So I got really used to like pacing out in the driveway when I talked to the phone.
That's terrible.
But now I find that I don't talk on the phone anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're a texter.
I am.
I don't really like to talk
about
phone.
You're a crazy texter.
I text a lot, yeah. Which I don't even really enjoy texting, but I'm just faster. Yeah.
But being people that don't really like to talk on the phone, that's a reason to be excited about like the new hardware that will be coming out. You know, we'll get to see like second gen Windows 7 phone hardware, you know.
Yeah.
You know, new hardware that supports like the latest like Android platforms. There's all kinds of stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Yeah, I think those are the things that I kind of put on my list thus far. And, you know, like we talked about in a previous podcast, I'd really like to read more comics this year, too.
Yeah,
it's
this guy right here.
Yeah, you got us.
One of the saddest things when I had to, like, give up reading comics, and now I just kind of, like...
You can do it as an adult. It's not too expensive. It's easy.
Man, I don't know.
It's easy.
That closet is a perfect example of why
Well, then you trade it in. You know, you don't have to keep comics. No one's telling you that you have to collect comics. Do it for the joy of reading. Why not?
Mm.
Take them back. Sell them back.
No
put
one's
on going to
buy my old comic.
You could lot sell
my
your
old
stuff.
Copy of Youngblood.
You can lot sell all that
my,
stuff.
My foil covers of X-Force.
Easy.
Poly bag.
Easy. I mean, if you take it to the store, they're not going to buy it. But you can throw it on eBay and say, like, box of comics, you know, $50. They'll buy them. Alright, so...
What are you excited about, 2011?
Yeah.
I was looking through, of course, right now, because I didn't prepare for this at all.
Yeah,
I was
for
looking through
first, you jerks.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I like Mass Effect, fucking shocker!
I was looking through lists of things coming out, so I'll do those just because, you know, of course we're excited about that kind of stuff, but probably game-wise, not a... I mean, Mass Effect 3, obviously not something that we haven't already mentioned. The one that I'm excited about is Mortal Kombat, the new one. Elder Scrolls is listed for late next year,
really?
November. I won't believe it. I don't think it's actually going to happen, but it's listed. Portal 2, I would say I'm excited about now.
Yeah.
Having played Portal.
This weekend, yesterday.
Because
yeah.
It was fun as hell, and I would definitely play Portal 2. And I'm shocked you didn't say Dead Space. P.S.
Dead Space. Well, yeah, I mean, because that's coming out this month. I guess I was already...
Yeah.
It's already on the radar.
I would say, movie-wise, it is... You were close with the Avengers, but it is the year of comic book movies. It is borderline insane how much stuff is slated to come out this year. Between Green Lantern, Green Hornet, Thor, Captain America, X-Men First Class, there's more... It is like comic book movie year.
Oh, okay.
The new Harry Potter, of course. I actually will not say that I'm excited about the new Pirates of the Caribbean, because...
It doesn't look that good, does it?
Nor am I excited about the new Transformers, because the last one was pretty shitty.
The trailer was good, though, man. The Dark Side of the Moon, or whatever the fuck it was called.
It is called...
The
Dark
of
the
Moon.
Dark of the... They forgot side, so...
Yeah.
Dark of the Moon.
Yeah, so tons of comic book movies. I'm pretty excited about that. I would say one thing that I am very excited about is that this will be my year of conventions. We're going to PAX in March. We're going to Comic-Con in July. I am going to a G.I. Joe convention here in town in May. there's a couple others that I'm actually looking at going to. I'm sad I'm going to miss... there's two things going on at the same... Or three conventions going on the same weekend. And that is South by Southwest, PAX, and MegaCon. MegaCon, whatever. But it's local, so
yeah.
It's cool to go to a local
yeah.
convention, because, you know, that's you should support that kind
and
of
it's
crowd.
Always fun.
Yeah.
And it's fun enough just to walk around. South by Southwest, I am actually bummed. I'm not going to get to go to.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun when I went a couple years ago. And the tech part of it's just insane. There's so many, like, who's who of technology there. it's pretty crazy. So I'm kind of bummed when we miss that, but I am crazy excited about PAX.
Yeah,
I think
very much so.
PAX is just going to be friggin' awesome and so affordable, unbelievably affordable. Like, we were breaking down costs the other day, talking about it, like, okay, well, flight's gonna be this much, hotel will be this much, and the convention's $50. Like, it's like, you know, for $500, I'm gonna go for a weekend to Boston
and it's in a great city.
It's in Boston, yeah. Like, you can't.
It's not like the time I drove to Baltimore for a fucking convention.
Hey, you know what? Every once in a while in Baltimore, it's alright.
Oh, whatever.
And by every once in a while, I mean, like, if you're not in an okay part, just drive, like, 3 blocks. You'll probably be in an okay part then.
Oh,
but then if you go another block, you may not be in an okay part anymore. We were, like, we stayed... No, another story. Well, it's open thread. Fuck it. We were on tour. We went to Baltimore. We played this awful show to no one. We did, like, overnight it to get there because our van broke down in New York. Blah, blah, blah. But, we got to Baltimore and we like played in a shithole in like Cracktown, essentially. Well, it wasn't a shithole. The bar was nice.
What was the name of the place we played?
We played Auto Bar, which is like
what show was it?
Decent size. It was locals.
Oh, okay.
Nice. We played this show at this place called Auto Bar, which is actually really nice. But the bar is in like, it's classic like bar in big city where you walk out and you're like, I'm just gonna go to the van real quick and then come back. I'm not going to go anywhere else.
Like, yeah. I'm not back in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, escorting people back. And, like, we went in pairs to the van every time we went out. Like, everybody loaded equipment together. You don't do anything by yourself. Just because it's, like, it's kind of shady.
Baltimore is a bit sketch. Really
but
is.
Then we drove these kids. Random kids put us up at their house because we, you know, we didn't have money. So these kids put us up at their house. We went to their house. Fucking like awesome brownstone 2-story house in the middle of Baltimore
and
with like
the nicest people. Yeah.
The nicest people. The neighborhood's awesome. Super nice people in the neighborhood. You walk out. We walked to breakfast in the morning to like Dunkin' Donuts. You go around the corner. There's like a huge shopping center, like a Dunkin' Donuts. Everything's super nice.
Yeah.
And then we were talking to them about it. We're like, it's really weird that you know you guys are here. This is like really nice. And they're like, oh yeah, yeah. It's cool here. They're like we're trying to be really nice to our landlord because we really like the place. And I was like, oh, that's cool. He's like, yeah, yeah. Don't walk left when you come out. And I was like, what? He's like, go right. You can go to Dunkin' Donuts, all that stuff. That's fine. Don't walk left. And I was like, don't walk left. And he's like, it's not a good part of town. And I'm like, what do you mean walk left? It's like a block. And
like, there's
totally
a force field
shithole.
Separating.
Like, literally, you take a left and it's like Cracktown out of nowhere.
It's funny, yeah, because my story is very, very similar. I went up with Cohen. And Big Rig, we went up to a convention there once, and we're thinking, okay, well, this is in the convention center area. Like, we'll just have a hotel a couple blocks away. We're
right.
Maybe 5 or 6 blocks from the convention center. Like, block 1 and block 2, fine. 3 and 4, like, holy crap.
Yeah.
You better jog through these fucking 3 blocks. And
hide your kids.
The next 2 blocks, perfectly fine.
Yeah.
And we walked from our hotel to a concert that was there that night, and we walked through some scary, scary shit, and like, you know, like,
and that's just Baltimore. It's just that's the way Baltimore is, and it's weird. Some people love it, man. People who live in Baltimore, that like are Baltimoreans or whatever you want to call them, like fucking love it and would defend that town to the end of the day, like, you know. But and that's the way it is. I don't know. It's weird. I don't mind Baltimore, but it's definitely block to block. It's like, walk out of 1 block and you're like, where the fuck am I? And then you walk in another block and you're like, this is really awesome. And you walk again and you're like, where the fuck did I go again? What happened to that block I was just in? You know, worse than I think any other big city like DC or New York. It's not that bad. But anyways, so what else? I don't know. I'm looking forward to doing the traveling and doing the cons.
I'm very excited about the cons.
You know, I can't honestly, and I, like, if you knew me pre last July, you'd be blown away that I'm saying this, but I cannot wait to go back to San Diego.
Oh, good.
I want to extend it to go more days just to go to San Diego.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, like, maybe hit L.A. for a day or two. Like,
yeah.
Because I always, like, the joke for me was always Southern California is just Orlando with more stuff in it.
Yeah.
Because it's, like, the same climate. It's the same kind of, like, you drive everywhere. Like, you know, San Diego has some good transportation, but Southern California is, like, it's your car. You can't get out of your car to go anywhere. You know, nice, good climate, but it's the same fucking thing as here. It's like there's no actual seasons. It's like, like, right, it was 70 today. It was literally 70 today. It was 40 yesterday.
Yeah.
It was like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Why are we going from one to the other? But, like, I'm super excited to go back to San Diego and do some traveling. Man, I don't know what else.
There's all sorts
stoked to be in the new house and just kind of get set up and get the podcast room going. And
it's going
to
be a good year, I think. I think it's definitely going to be. I mean, there's so much in terms of nerdy stuff coming out.
It better be a good year because it's literally the last year we'll have to do anything.
Yeah. Yeah, and then the Mayan apocalypse hits and we're all screwed.
And we're all dead.
Yeah. The end.
The end. I just need a bunker with an internet connection and the Old Republic and I'll be fine.
Yeah.
It's provided right here. This guy has a bunker.
I do.
With an internet connection.
It's fucking disgusting.
It's got mold right now, but we should go down and hang out.
Well, if you have internet, we'll just make it work.
Yeah. It's juicy. So my funny story in closing, I was trying to show Derek like how the you can basically start a party and then you can go online.
This is on Xbox.
This is an Xbox Live. You can start a party, an Xbox Live party, and you can invite friends to watch whatever movie you're currently watching. And so Chrissy was making fun of me because I got these new Turtle Beach headset for Christmas. And I'm sitting there like all wrapped up and I'm like in a blanket with my Turtle Beach headset and I'm just like sitting there talking to Derek at like 2 a.m. and we're like giggling back and forth like we're like 5 years old. And I'm like, hold on, man. And so I started Human Centipede in Netflix and I fast forwarded to the scene right where they're all linked, like ass to mouth, like, and they're all like pooping in each other and stuff like that. And then I hit play, and what it does is if you've never watched Netflix with somebody online, it actually shows your avatars watching. It shows your avatars actually watching on the screen.
Mystery Science.
Theater. It is totally,
And then you have like a little wheel where you can do different emotes and stuff. And so like my character's throwing popcorn up in the air and like doing the like the totally like the yawn reach like you do in the movies. And and all it is just horrible Human Centipede, like, debauchery and, like, pooping and violence. And he's like, make it stop! Like, he couldn't just turn it off.
Yeah.
Like, man, it was hilarious. So your mission is to now start horrible, vile movies and invite friends to watch them.
Maybe
Netflix.
This is going
to
catch on as, like, an internet, you know, sensation.
Yeah, it's sort of like the next photobomb type thing.
Or, yeah, like, which was the next, like, Rickrolling.
Good times.
Can I say on a serious note?
Yeah.
And this actually is a serious note.
Uh-oh.
On a serious note, I'm dying. No.
Were you playing games in Korea?
Yeah.
For 12 hours.
Pounding Monster. On a serious note, I think, because I did one of those parties like a long time ago in Netflix, like when I first got the Xbox. It might have been Haley Vader too. I invited somebody without realizing what I was doing into like a party. So I'm like, I did that, and then, I was like, man, this is stupid. This is retarded. Why would I watch a movie with friends, like, in other rooms? Like, they can just watch it whenever they want to watch it, and we'll talk about it later. Like, I don't need my avatar talking to the other avatar, you know? Like, I didn't get it, but I feel like and you're gonna hate this, I feel like it makes sense now with the Kinect. I feel like now I get it, because now a room full of people can watch a movie with a room full of other people and, like, talk. And, like, it can actually be, like, a bunch of people interacting instead of me with a headset on with my wife next to me going, what's she saying?
Yeah.
What's she tell her I said I think it's funny. What is he saying? Wait, Matt, tell Ash that I think that this movie is good at this. And I'm like, oh, my God, this is so obnoxious. I don't want to share a microphone. Like, that makes sense with the room now.
I thought it would be cool, and I'm only saying this because you mentioned the Kinect. I thought it would be cool to have, like, a party. Like, two people have parties. Like, let's say, you know, you have friends in California or whatever. Like, both people have a party on the same night, but they just leave their Kinect on, like, in video chat all night. So there's pretty much, like, two simultaneous parties, and you can just walk up to the Kinect.
A portal to another world.
Yeah.
That's a great idea.
Just have like a...
We need to work that out.
We'll call it teleparty. I just trademarked
it. Am I the only one whose wife did that, by the way, while we're playing games? Because Melissa literally did.
No.
Like, we'd be playing games together. Like, we'd be doing, you know,
whatever,
one of the games, Borderlands or something. She would be sitting next to me the entire time, half hearing your guys' conversations, and be like, tell Ashley I think that headshot was cool. And I'm like, are you serious? I'm not relaying conversations. And then she would, like, yell it next to me.
Yeah.
Like, in my, she was like, and I don't mean to, I'm doing it to you, I'm sorry, but she'd be like, Ash, that headshot was awesome. And I'm like, I don't think he hears you right now. She's like, why doesn't he hear me? And you guys are like, what are you saying? And I'm like, it's not, oh, God, well,
this,
people talking
this
to
will
me.
Be dually funny because the question you asked is, does Jen do this? And the answer is no. Because
she's nowhere near the video
call. No, and actually, and the reason is that she says that you're loud enough on the headset that she can always hear what you're saying.
Me?
Yeah.
Personally?
Yeah.
It's not me doing anything.
Well, I'm just saying.
I'm a loud dude.
Yeah, my volume is high. Maybe it's a little bit.
No, I'm a loud person. That's what you're saying.
Yeah. Christina friendship would always,
over.
Every time I laughed, over my headset and she couldn't hear, she
what's funny?
What was funny? She always thinks it's like for some reason like that maybe she did something that like relayed to them, and I'm like, no, it's because I shot a monster in the butthole, and it made me laugh. simple things like shooting monsters in the butthole.
Melissa just has to be part of the conversation. She's just gotta be like, make sure they hear me, and I'm like, they can't hear you. This microphone somehow only picks up this area right here.
Yeah,
I know that because when people breathe, all I hear. And I'm like, oh, gross. I'm hearing your nose.
I'm loving that Turtle Beach. It's nice.
Is that the one at Best Buy or whatever for like $60?
Yeah, is it wireless?
No. You can get a wireless one, though.
Interesting.
It's got like a 5,000.
I feel like the more wireless shit we put in the house just messes up other wireless shit in the house.
I heard that about because I bought a wired Xbox controller for my PC.
Mm-hmm.
Because I heard that the wireless receiver interfered with your wireless router.
Do you ever have your laptop near your TV when you use your controller? Or you don't have the Xbox controller anymore. The Logitech Xbox controller. It controls my HP. Apparently
I have
an IR receiver on it.
I have seen that.
Because it'll be sitting like in front of the TV and I'll be like changing channels. And I'll change a channel and then I'll hear my laptop boot up.
Yep.
And then it'll start doing things with the lid closed and everything. And I'm like, what are you doing, laptop? Stop it.
Yeah, the same IR commands that control the Xbox also control the PC, too.
Oh, really?
So, like, this HP laptop has a remote built into it, and if I whip it out and start, like, pushing buttons, like, the Xbox will start doing stuff, like, flipping through the guide and stuff. It's really funny.
Can I just say that Ash got so ADD during that last conversation, he's now texting somebody or Twittering right now while we're talking on the podcast?
This is so meta, but Mark was watching.
Wait, was it Mark?
It was Mark. Yeah, Mark Holland. Mark was watching the Ustream from California, and he is telling me that he went to get a burrito, but he greatly enjoyed listening.
So
I'm thanking.
Tell Mark I said hi.
Yeah,
I like Mark. So that was the awkward end of our podcast today.
So yeah, thanks for tuning in. Rated NA episode 10. This will be our last one of the year 2010.
Or the first one of...
That's weird. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
Episode 10 will be the last one we recorded in 2010.
And this may be, for some, this
What if episode 11 is the last one we record in 2011?
Let's hope not, because
that would be tragic.
I enjoy this way too much. But yeah, we have some big stuff in store for next year. All in the pipes, don't want to reveal too much, but...
DTM's got a question for
you. DTM's a question. Yes. Oh, he asked me about a samurai sword. You know, I don't think I have a samurai sword. I might have...
How do you say samurai?
Samurai.
Samurai?
Samurai.
How do you say it?
Samurai.
Samurai?
I don't think I have a samurai sword.
I think we
say
it like Southern boys. Samurai.
I can check the...
Get what I am, samurai!
I got a samurai sword! Get up on the roof.
Ash has reverted to typing because he doesn't like talking over the chat.
Let me get up on the roof with my samurai sword.
I got that samurai sword. You hear about the guy who fought the other guy had a lead pipe and he had a samurai sword and he hacked his arm off?
No.
Two guys got in a fight over...
an Xbox 360.
No. It should have been, but I don't think it was.
A Slurpee.
And it was like two neighbors, and like one neighbor came after him with like a lead pipe that he pulled out of the ground or something, and then the other neighbor went in his house and grabbed a samurai sword and ran back and like beat the crap out of the guy with
his hacked
samurai
his
sword.
Arm off?
I don't know if he hacked his arm off. He did some massive amounts of damage, and they were like once again further proving that the samurai sword is greater than the lead pipe.
We're just talking now.
I don't even know what the fuck we're doing anymore.
The video that I saw with samurai swords, it was
it the crazy guy that got hosed?
No, it was the traffic altercation.
How do so many people have samurai swords?
This one was no, it was a broadsword. This guy was a traffic altercation in Russia. And this big like jock guy in like a sweatsuit comes out and he's picking on this nerdy guy after a traffic accident, and the nerdy guy runs back to his sword and comes back with like a broadsword. It's all like on traffic cams.
Oh,
and he starts chasing the big jock guy with the broadsword and smacks the shit out of the big jock guy's car with the broadsword. It shatters the window. It is awesome.
And that's why kids cannot play Street Fighter 2 from the early 90s.
Because
it makes them violent and want to kick and destroy cars.
Well, I think DTM found a YouTube video of shopping channel accident. Hold on. I think, here, you want to see something crazy? I think I can actually put this in the stream.
Really?
Will that get us in trouble?
Nah, it's YouTube. It's public. Public.
Rebroadcasting is somehow legal now, right?
Yes. I got it not available. Do you want me to just do a finishing statement segment?
No, we're doing this. Hold on. I'll cut some of this out.
Some of it?
I can't. Why can't I push it on air? There we go. I was just floating in the middle of the channel. That's awkward.
Awkward.
Man. That was pretty awesome.
Oh, Pilks is here. When did he get here?
Who knows? Who cares?
I just tuned in. What the hell is going on?
After
we're obviously watching a sword accident. Oh, that's awesome, DTM. All right, so
in summation,
samurai swords beat lead pipes.
Yes,
Koreans should play less video games,
especially.
Patton Oswalt should lighten up a little about being old and nerdy. Mass Effect 2
is good.
Alison Brie.
Oh my god,
yes,
we almost survived.
I did it!
Thank you,
And you should watch Eureka. You should play the Gears special online. And Scott is no longer my friend.
Oh!
Alan Wake!
Alright. Thank you guys very much for tuning in and watching. And we will be back next week.
See you next week.
Later.